It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. In West Virginia, Tootie Jones owns Swift Level Farms in Greenbrier County. And in Durham, North Carolina, Jennifer Curtis joins her and other women entering the meat industry.
We run into a lot of men, and it's taken some time for them to get used to the fact that we own this company and we're selling the meat, but it's been good.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. Amid much controversy, two horizontal gas wells were drilled into the Marcellus Shale Rock Formation in 2011, just barely outside of Morgantown. Now, two more wells are slated to be drilled on the same pad in the summer of 2015. But the company, Charleston-based Northeast Natural Energy, is teaming up this time with a host of researchers. Glennis Board has this report.
An $11 million five-year agreement between Northeast Natural Energy, West Virginia University, Ohio State University, and the Department of Energy is allowing for the creation and management of the Marcellus Shale Energy and Environment Laboratory. The director of WVU's Energy Institute, Brian Anderson, says when a call came for proposals to develop a field laboratory to study natural gas drilling practices, he and his colleagues and collaborators jumped at the chance, and their proposal was chosen to receive the federal funds for their field lab.
You know, we're doing a number of different monitoring efforts, really to make this as transparent as possible. At times we call it the transparent well, not transparent like glass, but transparent to data and to the public.
And there's a huge list of collaborators. The principal investigator and director of the lab, professor of geology at West Virginia University, is Timothy Carr. He's joined by researchers from the School of Public Health, the West Virginia Water Institute, WVU's Civil and Environmental Engineering departments, just to name a few groups from WVU. Then there are also folks from Ohio State University and, of course, federal partners from the Department of Energy. While several groups of scientists will be involved in the drilling of these wells, the last time Northeast wanted to drill in the area, things weren't so transparent. The governor even had to step in 2011 when the city and concerned residents pulled out all the stops to try to halt production of any drilling activity within a mile of city limits. The company chose what might seem like a logical spot, the Morgantown Industrial Park, but it was pretty far from logical for concerned residents and utility managers. The well pad is located just up the hill a little ways from the Monongahela River and just 1,500 feet upstream from the city's drinking water intake. But researchers and industry professionals alike say risks are low at this particular drilling pad, especially in light of these new drilling developments because of the expected oversight.
This is actually probably going to be the safest well in the world.
Again, director of WVU Energy Institute, Brian Anderson. A Morgantown resident himself, Anderson says he drinks Morgantown's tap water, so he understands community concerns, but he doesn't share them. He's hopeful that research on site will not only be monitored to ensure safety, but provide valuable information on best practices for the industry around the globe.
It's the first of its kind in the world where we have an opportunity to get an incredible environmental baseline for the water and air quality surrounding the field site.
Anderson says the site offers unique possibilities, not only for its proximity to the university, but also because the site's been monitored for pollutants for many years. It's already a heavily scrutinized well site, and because it's a slow-developing site, providing gas as needed to the Morgantown area.
The work that we'll do as part of this drilling and completion operation will be working alongside folks from Western University, the U.S. Department of Energy, to where they'll have an opportunity to see the work that we do.
Northeast President and CEO Mike John.
And we will look forward to applying best management practices to whatever work that we will do on the Morgantown Industrial Park site in 2015.
The plan is for Northeast to drill two well sites this summer. One will be devoted to science, research, and observation. The other will be a typical production well. Research will explore noise, air, water, traffic, and waste, as well as newer drilling techniques, like using the natural gas that's on site to power the many required generators instead of, say, diesel fuel, and perhaps using synthetic-based drilling mud instead of water-based mud to frack the wells. Permit applications for the new wells in Morgantown are currently being processed through the Department of Environmental Protection. Northeast Energy and WVU officials expect drilling to be underway by August and the wells to be producing gas by about November of next year. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:36. Mostly cloudy skies today. A chance of drizzle or freezing drizzle. Temperatures in the 30s and low 40s today. Cloudy overnight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Continued cloudy on Thursday. There's a chance of rain or snow in the south. Highs tomorrow in the 30s. Partly sunny on Friday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Tamarack, where Potter Hannah Johnson's maple leaves never pile up in your yard. At I-77 exit 45 in Tamarack, WV.com. Support is also provided by Shintel, providing West Virginians with internet, phone, and TV services, including Maestro, the whole home DVR and media center. More at Shintel.com.
For generations, women in the meat industry have worked in support positions. Now, a small but growing number of American women are taking charge in the meat business as owners. One of those women is Tootie Jones, who owns Swift Level Farms in Greenbrier County. We heard about Jones earlier this fall when a new map called Appetite Appalachia listed Swift Level Farms as one of its agritourism destinations. Jones found inspiration from a butcher from Chicago named Carrie Underley. North Carolina Public Radio's Leonita Inge reports.
Let's start with the hog.
Okay. There's an elbow.
Carrie will take
that's an elbow? There's an elbow right that, here. And so I can't get my knife around it. So I'm cutting through it with
skin on
my saw.
So
Carrie Underley is slicing through half a hog as if it were an avocado until she hits a bone.
So what I'm doing now is I'm taking out the femur bone. And so that way, because the ham is a little bit of a drag, if you will, because we have to make money. Not everybody wants a big ham.
Underley is a fit 46-year-old master butcher from Chicago. Her father and grandmothers were butchers, and she put herself through college cutting meat. Now she runs a meat training company called Range Incorporated. She was recently in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, demonstrating to about 30 women how to slice and dice the tastiest and most profitable parts of a hog.
And you just want to be careful. There's the scapula bone right here. And we want to make sure we don't wreck it.
She's a knife-welding rock star in her own right.
Tootie Jones was one of the women leaning in as Underley sawed, hacked, and sliced. Jones owns a cattle ranch in West Virginia.
And I think one thing Carrie's done is inspired a lot of people to go out, pick up a knife, learn how to handle a knife, and to go out and develop a business.
In addition to demonstrations like this, Underley organizes girls' meat camps. She says the meat industry is changing in a way that now allows room for women.
Meat production has always been a male job just because of the sheer size. And, you know, it's the physical job, you know, actually being able to lift these large animals. But as we're choosing to buy meat closer to home, we're looking for more craftsmen, if you will, to be the butcher so we can get them on every corner.
And that has opened up this avenue for not just the raising of the meat, but the selling, the marketing, the distribution.
Sarah Blacklin is director of NC Choices, a nonprofit in North Carolina that's trying to build more local meat supply chains.
I think it's a natural avenue for women to move into.
In North Carolina, the number of people raising and selling their own meat has gone from a few dozen a decade ago to more than 800 today. It's unclear how many are women, but one of those business people is Jennifer Curtis. Here in this chilly walk-in storage cooler in Durham, Curtis is checking on the meat that's come in that day. She's watching as fresh beef is tagged for distribution. Then she reaches down and picks up a thick chunk of dark red meat.
Oh my gosh, have you had this before? It's ossobuco or beef shank. It's right down there close to the ankle. It's got a lot of bone in, a lot of bone marrow. It's just fantastic for braising and stewing and beautiful flavor.
Curtis is the co-CEO of First Hand Foods along with another woman. She got into the meat wholesale business 4 years ago after meeting too many farmers having trouble marketing their meat.
We also were meeting more and more chefs who wanted to get fresh local meat but couldn't get enough from an individual farmer. So we thought, I think there needs to be a business right here in the middle.
Curtis says 90% of the people that she works with are men. Farmers, processors, and chefs.
So we run into a lot of men, and it's taken some time for them to get used to the fact that we own this company and we're selling the meat, but it's been good.
She says it took a long time to build trust, especially among cattle ranchers and what she calls the old boy network. But Curtis says she proved to them she could get them top dollar for their product. And that's the bottom line. For NPR News, I'm Leonita Inge in Durham, North Carolina.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Beth Voorhees.